Classified government secrets, private legal documents, computer source code, email archives. That's just part of the bounty from a global 5-year computer hacking campaign that was revealed yesterday. The computer security firm McAfee released a report saying several countries, including the U.S., dozens of nonprofits and private companies have been the targets, with the stolen information accounting for an unprecedented transfer of wealth. McAfee doesn't know how the data is being used or who's doing it, but some experts believe China may be the culprit. Meanwhile, American and British law enforcement agencies have made about 24 hacking arrests in the past month. Scotland Yard recently arrested an 18-year-old they say is working with LulzSec, that's the hacking group that posted thousands of email addresses, passwords, and phone numbers of Sony PlayStation users. And the U.S. Justice Department last month charged 24-year-old Aaron Swartz with downloading 4 million academic articles by hacking into the service JSTOR. Now, universities pay up to $50,000 for a subscription to JSTOR, and Swartz could face 35 years in prison and $1 million in fines for sort of liberating the papers. There seems to be a crackdown on hackers. Not everyone is happy. Nico Mealy lectures on politics and the Internet at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Nico, we should start by saying you know Aaron Swartz.
Yeah, I know him. He's a friend.
Yeah, and until recently, he was a fellow at Harvard's Safra Center for Ethics. So, first of all, what's the reaction there to this?
Well, I think people are a little surprised. You know, it's worth noting that neither MIT nor JSTOR are pressing charges. In fact, JSTOR says that they've come to a settlement with Aaron, that he's returning the documents, and they don't feel like there's any reason for this. The U.S. government's response seems relatively kind of dramatically out of proportion to the reality of what's happened here.
Well, let's just back up to say that a spokesperson for JSTOR, the vice president of marketing and communications, says, well, that's really not the case, that the prosecution is sort of against their wishes. They say, we wanted to make sure our data was secure and data wasn't disseminated, so we're happy that we got the result that we did, and part of the result is the charge. But let's talk a little bit more about what Aaron Swartz is said to have done, hacking into JSTOR through a computer at MIT?
That's right. You know, he plugged the computer into MIT's network and downloaded a bunch of documents.
Why did he do it? Do we know?
Well, we don't know. I haven't spoken to him, but he has a history. A few years ago in Chicago, he got into a little bit of trouble because he hacked into a database of court documents. These court documents through the PACE system are public documents, but you have to pay 8 cents per page to get them. They made them available online. He set up a little script, grabbed all of them, and put them on the internet, made them searchable for free.
And so he seems to be of the school that information should be more available.
Well, in nerd culture, there's a long and significant thread around information needs to be free, deserves to be free, wants that it's a, that all information should be free. And that's led to a wide range of incidents, from everything from WikiLeaks to a significantly different attitude about privacy in our culture.
Well, WikiLeaks has voiced its support for Swartz on Twitter, writing things like, keep fighting, Mr. Swartz, history is on your side. WikiLeaks, of course, fighting its own battles for publishing thousands of U.S. government documents. We can hear in your voice that you feel that perhaps Aaron Swartz is being unfairly prosecuted, or maybe prosecuted too hard?
I definitely feel like putting him in prison for 35 years for downloading academic documents from MIT that has an open campus policy seems kind of radically out of proportion to what's actually happened here. I'd much rather they go after people who break real laws, who steal credit card numbers or money or identities online.
And here's how the government is responding. Here's U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz. Stealing is stealing. You know, whether you use a computer command or a crowbar, whether you take documents, data, or dollars, it's equally harmful to a victim whether you sell what you have stolen or give it away. In other words, whether you're doing it for the cause of transparency and openness or whether you're doing it for more nefarious
things. It's not at all clear to me that what Aaron did was stealing. MIT invites anyone listening to this program, to go to their campus and get on their network and use their systems. And that's what Aaron did.
Well, he broke into a computer wiring closet in a basement, allegedly.
Allegedly. The door was open. There was no sign on it. It wasn't locked. Like, breaking in seems like very strong language that I would be surprised if it holds up.
But, Nico, let me ask you this. Are you at all sympathetic to the idea that it has to be stopped at a certain point before it's not Aaron Swartz who is trying to make writing more public, but someone else who's hacking into your private papers?
Well, hacking seems like a term that has a wide range of application, from pretty malicious activity to relatively benign activity, like taking a screwdriver and opening up your computer, right? And I think in some sense, Aaron is a casualty of a growing conflict between the institutions of our era running up against the realities of digital life. I think there are some relatively complicated and critical issues to be examined here. In the case of WikiLeaks, should governments be allowed to keep secrets? I think that's kind of the fundamental question here. I'm not sure it's possible to keep secrets in a digital form, because the very nature of digital technology allows material to be copied.
Do you think a government should be able to keep a secret, but maybe they just won't be able to?
I think it's an open question whether they should.
It seems
to me that I can think of some cases which it might be appropriate for them to keep secrets. I'm not sure that they can.
Right.
Regardless, we have skipped a whole important dialogue in our culture about some of the things these digital technologies are doing to our institutions. And rather than get into a serious examination of whether or not serious academic literature should be free and available to the public, we're going to try and put Aaron Swartz in jail for 35 years.
Well, but it's one thing to talk about the government, but there's more than one conversation. There's a question as to whether or not the government should or can. But what about Sony PlayStation users? Should their passwords and phone numbers?
Oh, well, that's clearly malicious, right? I mean, that's clearly a violation of law and breaking and entering and stealing.
Well, the same members of LulzSec who are alleged, you know, these teenagers who are alleged to have done that, also claim they hacked the CIA.
Yeah, we have a serious issue when any 14-year-old with a $500 laptop can hack into Central Command.
Well, and I guess the federal government might be saying, so in the meantime, to try to stop that, we can't let an Aaron Swartz. In other words, you sort of have to start sending out the signal that it's not going to be allowed to go into somebody's computer in a basement or to hack into PlayStation.
Well, in that case, then, to stop speeding, maybe we should put people 5 miles over the limit in jail for 35 years versus people 50 miles over the limit. I just think that the U.S. government's response is evidence of a kind of paranoia and a refusal to engage at a serious institutional intellectual level with the challenges presented by the digital age.
Do you think Aaron Swartz should be punished at all?
I don't think he should be punished at all. I think he hasn't said this, I don't know. But in some sense, it seems to me, you could argue it's an act of civil disobedience.
That's Nico Mealy. He lectures on politics and the internet at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, speaking to us about recent hacking cases. A fascinating conversation, and I bet we pick it up again, as you said, Nico, because it's far from over. Thanks so much.
Thank you.